Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Information is the lifeblood of medicine, and improving the availability and usage of healthcare information is foundational for enhancing the modern healthcare system's efficiency and effectiveness. Health information technology, or health IT, allows individuals and healthcare providers to electronically collect, share, and use health information. The term health IT includes a wide range of products, technologies, and services. At the turn of the 21st century, adoption of one of these tools, the electronic health record, among physicians and hospitals was just beginning and moving slowly. To accelerate the adoption and use of health IT, Congress passed and President Obama signed into law the HITECH Act as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. Interoperable health information and health IT solutions will lead to a more efficient and effective health system, better clinical decision support, scientific advancement, and a continuous learning health system. What is health information technology? How can it transform the practice of healthcare? What is happening to facilitate the adoption and use of health IT? And what are some of the key obstacles to realizing the benefits of using health IT? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Karen DeSalvo, National Coordinator for Health Information Technology within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. DeSalvo, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Dr. DeSalvo, would you provide us with an overview of the history and mission of the Office of National Coordinator for Health Information Technology, Health IT? And could you tell us a little bit about how it has evolved over the last decade?
So, the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT is celebrating 10 years of service to the country. It started in the Bush administration as an executive order as a way to better coordinate not only the federal efforts around health IT, but work with the country, with the private sector. And in 2009, with the HITECH Act, we became an office within the Secretary's realm in HHS, and were given a set of responsibilities and authorities and some funding to help catalyze the marketplace and really advance health IT adoption and use on the ground. It's been an intense 5 years of work for the whole country. We are now looking forward to the next 10 years to see what we can do to help advance health IT for everyone and in every part of the health continuum, not just the health care continuum.
So with that change, with the HITECH Act, with the $2 billion in stimulus appropriation, and that ends, I understand your office has gotten sort of flatter. Would you give us a sense of the scale of operation in your organization? How are you currently organized? And I believe when you came on, you kind of reorganized the office, correct?
We did. We've been undergoing some pivot in the Office of the National Coordinator in the last year. And that pivot is, first of all, with our own staff internally, as we are looking forward to our responsibilities around coordination, around convening, around regulation, and setting the priorities. We really knew that we needed to have an organization that was able to look inside the federal government and bring people to the table, and externally, less of a grant-making agency. And that's how we had built up over the HITECH period to administer that some $2 billion in funds that went out. On the other hand, compared to the first 5 years of the office, now have some responsibilities around certification, for example, around evaluation of health IT across the country. And so we needed to maintain some of those parts of our shop that were new. And we still have some smaller ongoing granting and challenge grant and innovation grant opportunities. So it's a new chapter and a new day. We flattened the organization in a way that many companies and entities are across the nation. And for people who know the staff at the Office of the National Coordinator, they know that they are very much like a startup group, young, enthusiastic. Many of them have come from private sector and want to serve. And so there is, I think, a real inclination to work in a matrix fashion. And we do things as a team, lots of group conversation about how we're going to move forward supporting innovation within the infrastructure. And so that evolution for us then was partially about moving from heavy grant-making focus to policy-making, coordination and addition to our regulatory responsibilities, but also, I think, a reflection of the dynamic nature of the kinds of people who work there and the kind of environment that they really thrive in, which is very entrepreneurial.
So what is your role? What does the National Coordinator of Health IT for Health IT do? What's your responsibilities? And how do you support the mission of HHS?
Well, we have two supports in there. One, let me start with the National Coordinator. As configured, my responsibility as National Coordinator is to lead a team that is coordinating the health IT policy and technology related to the federal government agencies like the VA, the DOD, the Social Security Administration, the Federal Trade Commission, bringing all of us together to understand what our priorities will be and how we want to send clear signals to the private sector, to the states, about what are the important challenges, solutions for things like privacy, security, for technology, for standards. Then also to work with the private sector through our FACAs, our advisory committees, and then through a series of other state relationships that help us to coordinate nationally, not just federally. And part of that, Michael, is to develop the Federal Health IT Strategic Plan, which we have just recently put out, which represents 36 agencies and departments ranging from, you know, Department of Justice all the way through the HHS family to set priorities and understand what policy and purchasing and provider levers that we have to move forward health IT in as equitable way as possible while still leaving lots of room for partnership with the private sector and innovation. We have responsibility within HHS, particularly in these last few years, around improving care delivery. As many people know, there's an exciting time in healthcare right now. The development of new models of paying for care and new availability of information for consumers to make better choices, be more engaged, has spurred a lot of great innovation out in the marketplace about better ways to deliver care so that we're not only getting better care, but able to spend our dollars more wisely. That work around care transformation can't happen unless you have great information to help inform decisions for clinicians, for payers, for provider organizations, for communities. And so the work of Health IT and the Office of the National Coordinator is integral to, in this particular time in history, this secretary's efforts around delivery system reform. It's an effort I have the chance to co-lead with a colleague from CMS, and we're weaving together what we think are the key critical paths, paying for care so we get value, not just more, not just volume, supporting providers as they innovate and improve care and support consumers to get better access to better coordinated care and then bring information to bear, not only through better transparency about cost and quality using claims data, but also the clinical data that comes from adoption of health IT in the clinical environment and then the opportunities for that data to follow people as they move across the healthcare system. So when you arrive at the new part of the healthcare system, you're not having to say everything all over again or getting stuck twice because we didn't have the test results. And then seeing that information can be used in aggregate where appropriate to inform payment policy and public health and community level health. It's really actually incredibly exciting work. And the administration and the private sector clearly understand that advancing healthcare delivery in this day and age is the time is right. The windows are open because we have data that we didn't have, and it can become information. And because we know now more about better payment models and better delivery models, so weaving all that together is a major part of our responsibility at ONC.
Yeah, and if that's not a big enough portfolio, I understand that you're in essence wearing two hats, or you're dual-hatted. Can you tell us about your role as acting Assistant Secretary for Health within HHS?
Of course. A couple of months ago, when things were getting particularly heated around the Ebola outbreak domestically and in West Africa, the secretary asked if I would lean in and be part of the HHS team that was working on Ebola. The Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health has within its portfolio the Office of the Surgeon General and the Public Health Service Commission Corps. We have responsibilities around blood consent policy, around bioethics, and around the national vaccine policy programs, and also regional offices, 10 across the country, that can reach into the ground using our Office of Minority Health resources and others to help with education and information out on the ground. And so particularly for the Commission Corps, the Public Health Service Commission Corps, there was a call for them to stand up a hospital in West Africa. But there's logistics and clinical care issues, deployment of what will turn out to be some 300 officers in stages to go overseas. I have a background in public health and in clinical care and have been involved in a host of emergencies and disasters throughout my career. And so she asked if I would lend some support to all of the work that I mentioned, plus the broader policy thinking and work around Ebola.
Well, I just was wondering, with such a large portfolio, a diverse portfolio, what are your three top challenges that you face and how have you sought to address them?
Well, let me begin by saying that I am trained as a general internist. That's my medical background, and that's exactly what we do is we have, as general internists, we have very broad portfolio of disease and patient age and complexity. It's what I just love. It's what gets me excited in the morning to go to any job. And as health commissioner in New Orleans, you have a really broad portfolio. My work there ranged from domestic violence all the way through childhood obesity to environmental health. And so it's a comfortable place for me, I must admit, to have a broad portfolio. In terms of opportunities and challenges, I would say that for our country right now, there is clearly a window in which we have the chance to see that everyone has access to affordable, quality care, and that we begin the important work of bringing health to everyone. I separate those things by pauses in my voice because there's priorities that the administration has around coverage expansion, and every state has that kind of priority. I'm from Louisiana, and through a variety of ways, we have been working for years to find a Louisiana solution to coverage so that people have a voice and a vote in their care, not just the availability of a place to go, but they can choose. That creates market competition. How you get there is what we argue about, but so that's the coverage piece. And then once you get coverage, you have to be able to have access to great care, and you have to know it's great care, so the information from health IT needs to be available to inform decision-making all across the healthcare system. That's our delivery system reform work. The health work is the broader and I think the bigger challenge for our nation. Health care is only a part of your health outcomes. What most people don't know is that it only accounts for 10, maybe 20% of your health outcomes. Most of your health relates to where you live, learn, work, and play, your genetics, and the choices that you're able to make. And very often for people, the right choice is not the easy choice because you live in a zip code where you don't have access to fresh food or public safety. And so there are communities in our country where, like my hometown of New Orleans, where depending on the zip code in which you live, your life expectancy varies by 25 years. This is the same municipality, and this happens all across our nation, and it's related to these non-medical determinants of health. And so how does that relate to all of our work? Well, of course, you would immediately understand that that's very public health related. There's also multiple sectors that must get engaged, but some of the frontier work in health IT is creating a technology and policy platform that doesn't just allow for us to see the healthcare information about a person or a community, but to look more broadly at the health information, housing, their daily steps, their access to fresh food. All of this informs the person's overall health picture. And most people will tell you, most individuals, that space of care that happens in the doctor's visit or in the hospitalization is just a small fraction of their life. And you know this as a person, that so much of your health happens outside. And I think understanding how the work that we do at HHS and the administration allows us to have a policy framework that supports and protects people and organizations and communities as they're working towards health. And from a health IT standpoint, what is the health data that's going to lead to health? And how do we see that it is available appropriately and respectfully to patients' wishes and is also available for use cases like informing community health programs?
Mm-hmm. So what surprised you most since coming to Washington in your current role?
Well, let me say that I think what is great, and I'm not sure it was surprising, but what's really great is that there is an incredible amount of alignment about what needs to happen, so what success looks like in many cases. Where we have a lot of work to do is the pathway to get there. From outside of the Beltway, where I was before, it feels that there's more division and more divisiveness. That actually is not my sense from talking with members of Congress and their staff and with the stakeholders with whom we engage. And then when I find inside of the Beltway even, there's a lot of agreement about what our overall goals are, just as there is when you get out in the community. I would say, though, that what's easy to have happen here is you lose sight of the diversity of our country. And I mean that less in an ethnic, racial way and more about about resources and where people are in the continuum. And just to use health IT as the example, because it's where when I do listening sessions, you hear that a community like, outside of Montgomery, Alabama, they're working to adopt health IT to inform care and health, yet they don't have broadband access. So it's a real limiting factor. When you talk to folks in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, their issue is more about state policy. And when people live in Pennsylvania and work in New Jersey and may get their health care in New Jersey, what are the laws that they're going to follow about privacy and consent? And when you go to Silicon Valley, it's very little thinking about electronic health records and a lot of thinking about the next generation and how data wraps around people and not around institutions and EHR. So when you bring that back to Washington and to our Humphrey Building, I have to help myself to remember that we have a responsibility to meet communities where they are, and they're not all in the same place. And our blunt policy instruments that we make federally can miss the mark if we're not really listening and really thinking about a more nuanced way. So our challenge to the team has been, as we evolve into our next chapter, to remember that big grant programs that we had in high tech, new programs like Meaningful Use have been successful and really great, but they're blunt in general, right? And so the thing we're working on, one of the things is how do we know where communities are? How do we work with them to get some sense of their health IT-ness? And then what is the array of tools that the federal government has in its toolbox, whether that's FCC supporting broadband access for rural communities or the opportunity to do catalyzing grants or connect-a-thons that help advance the ideas that are coming out of places like Portland.
What is being done to facilitate the adoption and use of the electronic health record? We will ask Dr. Karen DeSalvo, National Coordinator for Health IT, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.